Welcome to Gardens for Everybody, the garden show for gardeners in Barrhaven. Today, Elizabeth and I are talking about the fact that we have as much space as possible dedicated to the pollinator garden to benefit the Barrhaven food cupboard vegetable garden. Hi, Elizabeth. How are you today?
I'm very good, Marianne.
Spring is coming.
It is. I can feel things warming up a bit. It all feels nice and warm. It's good.
When I was walking my dog this morning, the birds were chirping.
It is a nice sign of spring when you hear birds for the first time.
It is. Now, today, I want to talk to you about the pollinator garden at the Barrhaven Food Bank Garden. Mm-hmm. We have a huge pollinator garden that you built that's wrapped around the back of the vegetable garden and all along the side. What is the importance of the pollinator garden?
Well, thank you for asking, because it is very dear to my heart. So, it seems weird. We're growing vegetables, so why do we have a pollinator bed? But we have it because we want to encourage lots of different bugs, insects, birds, animals to live around our vegetable garden, to make a very diverse culture of animals and plants living there. And the reason for that is that, you know, if we have, we spoke in the permaculture bit about having a monoculture where you just have one type of plant, and then you're not going to have a wide diversity of insects there too. Mm-hmm. And so then what happens is you might get a predator come in and it just wipes everything out because it doesn't have anything that's going to limit its destruction of the plants.
Okay, so you're making sure that you have the diversity of species to manage any possible disaster in the garden.
Yeah, so we're going to reduce the number of pests attacking vegetables. We're going to increase the number of pollinators for our vegetables and just have a more healthy cultural system. So one thing I'm thinking about is, you know, we often think of ladybugs as a very good predator insect that's going to attack aphids that might be looking at on our vegetables or other plants, in fact. And the ladybugs will come along and eat aphids. So there are lots of insects that we like to encourage to our garden.
Oh, that's so true. And I used to always remind my students that the larval stage of the ladybug eats the most aphids, but it's an ugly little creature.
Yes. And insects are much maligned, and there are many stages. Like, we like to look at butterflies and we like to look at bumblebees, but we're often less keen on some of the other insects that are around. But they're so beneficial. And even though they might look ugly, they're probably very useful to us.
Yeah, it's actually like the tomato hornworm. People pick them off, but they pupate into swallowtail butterflies.
Yeah, beautiful. So, yeah, we sometimes don't appreciate what's there and diversity. Yes, we'll have them eating a little bit of our plants, but overall, we're going to have less predation on our vegetables and a healthier ecosystem if we encourage as many different insects and animals as possible.
So do I have to have all native plants in my pollinator garden?
So in our pollinator gardens, we really do have pretty much all native plants by design, because we were lucky enough to start it from scratch and create it and buy local sourced plants. However, in general, you know, it's okay not to have all native plants, especially if you've already got some plants in your garden that you love. Keep them, but try and add as many native plants as you can. Probably you're aiming for 70% native plants would be really ideal, but any native plant that you add is going to be beneficial to your garden ecosystem.
Can I ask you, is a native R as good as a native plant?
Yes, so a native plant is one that's grown in this region, and introduced plants are ones that have come from a different region of this country or the world. And native R's are plants that are originally native that have been cultivated and hybridized by humans in order to usually look more attractive to us. So, for instance, we might have a plant that's got a nice flower, but by cultivating it, we're going to cultivate a plant that has a much bigger flower, maybe double blooms. The trouble is, when we do that, we're using parts of the plant in a way they're not intended to. For instance, we might be using the pollinator parts of the plant to become petals, reducing the amount of pollen available to bees and other insects, and they have less nutritional value. So they're prettier to us, but they're not good for the insects. So generally, we're wanting to get a truly native plant. And I know that can be really hard, actually, to source, because you go to your garden center and you see a lot of plants that look like natives, but maybe, like you say, a native R. So looking for a good source, like the Canadian Wildlife Federation, like the Ontario Native Plant Nurseries, and you can find other sources through the Ottawa Wildlife Seed Library. Also has some links to other places where you can buy truly native plants.
Tell me about some pollinators.
So here's some interesting things that we might like to think about is how many different animals are pollinators. And we always think of bees, and bees are pollinators. So are butterflies to some extent. And these are the ones that we like to think of and attract to our garden. And I do very much like to attract those too. But so many insects that pollinate that we don't think of, that we don't like as much, but they're actually very useful. So ants, for instance, pollinate some flowers.
Excellent.
Wasps are very good pollinators. You know, so lots of insects that we don't think of as friendly are very good for our garden. So wasps are very useful to us. And of course, we often think of the yellow jacket type wasp when we're thinking of wasps. And that one is kind of annoying because it eats meat, it's carnivore, and it will buzz around our food and can sting us. Most wasps, though, aren't interested in us at all. The vast majority of wasps are vegetarian. They eat plant tissue. They eat nectar and those kind of things. And they actually also have a wonderful habit of attacking pests in our garden. So wasps have what's called an ovipositor. The stinger bit is actually an ovipositor. So that's where they lay eggs. And what they'll do is they'll find another insect that they're going to lay an egg in. Their larvae will then grow in that and feed on that insect. And by doing that, they're removing that insect that's eating our plants from our garden. So wasps are a wonderful part of the garden.
Yes, actually, I remember reading about the emerald ash borer that Dr. Naomi Cappuccino brought in, the Asian parasitoid wasp, and that it lays its egg through the ovipositor, through the bark, to the larva of the emerald ash borer.
Yeah, amazing.
Awesome.
It's really cool. Insects are really cool, and they have so many benefits to our environment.
Wow.
So, Marianne, I need to ask you, what is your favorite pollinator?
Oh, I love the squash bee. The squash bee spends most of its life in pre-pupa form inside the soil.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't touch the soil. It only flies about 1 kilometer from its place of origin. It comes up out of the ground as a squash bee in June, July. It depends on the temperatures. And when it comes up out of the ground, you'll see a small pencil hole in the soil where it came out. And it pollinates all the cucurbitaceae. So every squash plant is from Central and South America. And it comes out of the soil first thing in the morning as the sun is rising, when the cucurbitaceae squash flowers are starting to open. The male and females go into the flower, they pollinate, they copulate. And
make some babies.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the male goes to sleep head down inside the flower, and the flower closes after about 12 hours. And the female goes down into the soil and lays one egg with a ball of pollen, which then stays there for the rest of the summer, developing. And then in the spring, it pupates and then eventually emerges in June or July.
And that's a wonderful point about why we don't touch our soil as much as we can avoid, and why we leave some bare soil as well. Incredibly important not to dig our soil so that we don't kill babies, Marianne.
Okay, I love it. When you pick up a rock and you find a whole nest for bumblebees, oh my God.
Yeah.
Then I have to put that rock back down.
Yeah. Well, this was great. Very informative. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thanks.